Okay, so if you haven't been looking at the news, we have probably the first major thing that this Congress has done that everyone should be supporting. This isn't, I know last episode I talked about how crime isn't a left or right issue. Well, this issue also isn't left or right, and it has nothing to do with crime. Instead, it has to do with national security, which is why the bill they passed with a super majority in the House of Representatives. And before it was introduced in the House, it passed the committee it was in with a 50 to nothing vote. A unanimous vote in the committee. Now, if you're not familiar with how legislatures work and how all this gobbledygook, law stuff works, I don't blame you. No one really understands how Congress is supposed to work. The little bit that I do know is that when you have a supermajority and you pass a bill with a supermajority, that means any single amendment that someone who opposed the bill wanted to amend the bill with can be ignored. So let's say the bill passes with a supermajority, and two people who opposed the bill wanted to amend it with, say, I don't know, let's say it's a tax bill, and they wanted to amend the bill with no taxes if you make under $12,000. Well, if the bill passed with a supermajority, they don't have to consider that amendment because it just passed. But if it passed with a supermajority or with a regular majority, they kind of have to consider the amendment in committee or on the House floor. At least I think that's how it works. It might be a lot more confusing than that, but that is how I think it works. So the bill they just passed is pertaining to TikTok. Now, I know there's a few listeners who listen to my show who aren't from the United States, and I don't know what laws you guys have in your countries about TikTok. I'm pretty sure the EU has some antitrust laws. So if you're from the EU, then you guys have antitrust laws that pertain to every single social media company, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, basically every company, right? I think there's also been a few company or a few countries that have banned TikTok, but I'm not sure which ones they are. So I'm pretty ignorant on the international stage about how nations, react to TikTok. But my own country, the United States, the third largest nation in the world, the largest working democracy in the world, the richest country for businesses in the world, might be banning TikTok. And I say might because, first of all, the bill passed the House with flying colors. It will probably pass the Senate, but it'll be harder for it to pass the Senate because there are some weird senators who don't like the bill. I don't know why. They think it goes against the First Amendment, which it doesn't. We'll get to that later. So it will probably pass the Senate regardless. And then Joe Biden said he will sign it if it goes onto his desk. So if it passes the Senate too, it's law. But even then, even if at that point, even then, it might not ban TikTok. So the way this bill works is it says it looks at the problem of TikTok and it addresses this problem really well. And this is what I wish lawmakers did more often. So, most of the time you're reading through the news and you read through Congress and it's a whole bunch of politics. There's a bill that gets introduced and one side is like, yeah, this bill is perfect. We don't need to change anything. And then they throw in some garbage stuff in the bill to try to pass other stuff that's unpopular with their base. And then the other side is like, no, everything in this bill is terrible. We need to never pass anything like this. And they never come up with some sort of compromise. So instead, what you get is whoever's in charge of the legislature just passes their most extreme agenda. At least that's how it works in the United States. It isn't how it used to be. Like in the 1990s, when Bill Clinton was president, we actually had compromises because Republicans had the House, Democrats had the presidency and Senate. And so we had compromises between the president and the minority party, the Republican Party. And it was great. Like, yes, Bill Clinton got to implement most of the stuff he implemented was part, or at least working towards his larger agenda. That's how it works because he was a Democrat president. But we got to tone down how strong it was, how radical it was. Everything he got to do was toned down a bit because we had the House. So we had to come up with some sort of compromise. The House recognized that they don't have ultimate power. They can't pass every conservative agenda. But what they can do is force Bill Clinton to tone down his agenda, to make his agenda more popular with the American people, and ultimately, better for the American nation as a whole. And that's not how politics works anymore. Now it's just yelling and screaming at each other like British Parliament. And it's not how it's supposed to work. But this is the first time I've ever seen, maybe even in my lifetime, but for sure with this Congress, that a bill, common sense bill, has passed without screaming at each other, and it directly addresses the issue of TikTok. So I know there's a lot of you guys who are, I'm sure are on TikTok. There's 170 million Americans on TikTok. So I would not be surprised if half of you guys listen to TikTok or watch TikTok or whatever you do on there. I myself have been on there like once in my lifetime. And then every once in a while when someone sends me a TikTok, I'll look at that specific video. But that's it. Then I go off it because I'm personally not a big fan of social media. I know it has its, it has a lot of good things with it, but it also has a lot of bad things. And so I try to limit my social media use, except for on Twitter. I'm addicted to Twitter for some reason. And this, so this bill addresses TikTok. It doesn't say we're banning TikTok because of the people who are on TikTok. They're not banning it because you're saying things they don't like. So it doesn't go against the First Amendment. So to get into the bill a little bit, it doesn't technically ban the app. So, bit of a history lesson. In 2016, the company ByteDance released its first version of TikTok, and that was called Douyin, D-O-U-Y-I-N. And Douyin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not Chinese. I don't know Mandarin. So, Douyin was a news app. You'd go on the app, you could see the news local and nationwide. And I say nationwide because it was only in China. You could only get this in China, but it was extremely popular. So ByteDance worked on another version of the app to release to the international community. And whether this app was supposed to also only be used for news sources doesn't matter at all. It matters how it's currently being used. So obviously, well, I don't know, maybe you guys don't use TikTok, so maybe it's not obvious for you guys, but for anyone who does use TikTok, it's obviously not used for news sources. When you first start on the app, what you get is a whole bunch of unrelated videos. Maybe videos that are somewhat popular around where you live. Otherwise, it's mostly unrelated. There is no algorithm. It is truly random when you first open the app. But the instant you open the app, the algorithm also starts at the same time. So let's say you open the app, your first video is of a cat, but you're a dog person. It's unrelated, right? You scroll. Every time you spend a certain amount of... Basically, every time you spend more than maybe 2 seconds watching a video, the algorithm takes note of that. And this isn't a new thing. This has kind of been in place with YouTube and Instagram and whatnot for ages. This is nothing new. The amount of time you spend on a video, the more videos are going to recommend like that one. And so the content becomes more and more personalized to you. That's nothing new. Where it gets a little interesting, though, is how this algorithm expands. So it starts from nothing, and it grows into a monstrosity. And I'm not joking. Hold on, let me pull up a source for you guys, just to give this a personal feeling for you. I believe it was The Hill that talked about how, basically, TikTok doesn't just take your information from the app. You know, when you're using an app, you have a terms of service to agree with, right? And this terms of service says, hey, we're going to use everything that you do on this app. It's information that you've done here, so we're going to keep it. We're going to use it to personalize stuff for you, including advertisements. And that's about the furthest that most apps go, right? Well, TikTok, imagine an app that does this differently. Imagine an app that on their terms of service, you actually read through instead of just swiping down and hitting agree. Imagine you read through it, and in the middle of it, you find this little, call it a little parentheses under its data collecting. And what it says is, hey, by the way, we can do this on other apps and websites as long as we're open in the background. And even on websites, you don't even have to have us open in the background. We might just take your information if we have a cookie on that website. Well, that's exactly what TikTok does. So if you saw that on the terms of service, would you agree to TikTok? Would you agree to use the app? Or would you just turn it off and go use Instagram Reels instead? And if you don't know what Instagram Reels is, it's basically TikTok just on Instagram. Owned by a different company, owned by an American, but it's on Instagram. It's TikTok, but Instagram, basically. Are basically the same thing. Algorithm's a little different, but it's the same thing. So that's where the dangers of TikTok starts. Now, if that's where it ended, we wouldn't be banning TikTok. Maybe some smaller nations that are more security-centered would. Maybe the EU would force TikTok to change its terms of service within their own market base. But the United States would not ban the company as a whole. We just wouldn't. It wouldn't make sense to. But that's not where it ends. So that data collecting is horrifying for us as a for us as people, right? TikTok can use our information when we're not even on the app. So you know when you have an iPhone, you swipe up, you hold, and you can delete all the apps you had open. Let's say I don't do that. Let's say I looked at a video someone sent me, and I don't go on TikTok very often. So someone sends me a video, I watch it, then I swipe up. You know, I close or get off the app, and then, I don't know, maybe I want to text my girlfriend or something. Open the messages app, text my girlfriend, and let's say we're having a conversation about cars. And we're talking about how cars are cool or something like that. Next time I open TikTok, just for fun, let's say I want to scroll through 5 videos, I might see 5 videos about cars. Because I had TikTok open in the background on my phone. So they could take information from anything else I was doing, as long as TikTok was open in the background. Or let's say I go to Amazon.com on my computer. And I shop for shoes. If TikTok has a cookie on Amazon.com, which I don't know if they do, maybe they do, I might start seeing TikTok videos on shoes. That's scary. This is beyond personalization. This is an invasion of personal privacy. So that's scary in itself. What's even scarier is this is a Chinese-owned company. And you might say, oh, dude, you're just being a little paranoid. Just because it's Chinese-owned doesn't mean anything. You know, some Chinese companies are good. I mean, Xiaomi might be a little good, maybe. I mean, they're probably going to get banned, but they sound a little cool. They have some cool phones. I mean, for people who listen to my show in Europe, yeah, I mean, that might be how you guys think. I'm not a fan of Xiaomi. I'm an American. I like Google phones, to be completely honest with you. Otherwise, Samsung and Apple's overrated. I don't know why people buy Apple phones. I bought an Apple phone. And it's overrated. It lasts a long time. It's reliable. But beyond that, just like the Face ID for Apple, ridiculous. Why can't you use like a fingerprint? Like fingerprint's so much faster and easier. And then when I'm wearing sunglasses for some reason, it only happened when I bought a new pair of sunglasses. So I get a new pair of sunglasses and I always wear aviators. With my old aviators, my Face ID would still work. And then I buy a decent pair of aviator sunglasses, and now my Face ID doesn't work. And I don't understand why, but, you know, oh, Apple's overrated, but that's besides the point. TikTok is a Chinese company, and China just recently passed laws that say if China goes to any Chinese company, any company owned by Chinese public or by a Chinese private citizen, they can go to them and ask for them to share information on their users. So, if the United States and China were to enter a war, for some odd reason, maybe it's a war to defend Taiwan, maybe it's a territorial war, it could be any war for whatever reason, and China wants information on 170 million Americans, all they have to do is go to ByteDance and say, hey, ByteDance, share your information with TikTok users, with us. And they have to do it. They're required to by Chinese law to do that. That is the scary part. That is why lawmakers in the United States are banning TikTok or trying to ban TikTok. So what this bill really says is TikTok needs to be sold. ByteDance needs to divest from TikTok. The app has to be sold to either an American company or they will get banned. That is what the law does. It directly goes after the problem of the app. It does not say we're banning the app guaranteed. It says because you are owned by a Chinese company and because China is requiring companies to share information at will, you have to be owned by an American company or you will get banned. It does not technically ban the app unless ByteDance refuses to sell. Then it bans the app. So this is nothing. This isn't attack on our person. This is not an attack on our personal freedoms. It is not an attack on our First Amendment. It doesn't attack our freedoms at all. All it really does is say, hey, this is a Chinese company and China passed a few laws we're not fans of. So we need to you need to divest from this app. It needs to be an American-owned app or we have to ban you. And that is a good piece of legislation. It doesn't go beyond TikTok. It doesn't ban every other app in the world. It doesn't do anything like that. What it does is it goes after a direct problem. And that is how legislation is supposed to work. It's supposed to go after the direct problem. Now, if for some odd reason the Supreme Court strikes down this law, which I don't think they will do, I'll probably go up to the Supreme Court, but I doubt they'll strike down the law. If for some reason it does, though, they can pass a new piece of legislation that says any Chinese-owned app has to be divested from to be an American company or gets banned. Any Chinese-owned app. And now that is way more widespread, and I wouldn't like that bill as much, but it would still accomplish the goal. And it wouldn't be able to be struck down by the Supreme Court because it does not directly go after one individual company. It goes after a general class of companies, companies in a certain group. And so it's not direct discrimination against one person's company. So that is also a fair law. It's just way more widespread sweeping than I like it to be. So there is that. We'll have to see where this goes in the end, but I don't see it ever causing any... I don't see it basically ever causing any problems, legally speaking. It'll be sued. I don't know how TikTok will sue, but they'll find a way to sue us in an American court. They might even try to sue us within a UN-based court for the sake of anti-competition with Instagram Reels or something like that. But I don't think it'll go anywhere. In the end, I think the law will stand up as is. It will probably pass. We'll see. It'll be interesting to watch this go. But basically, until this enters the Senate, we have no idea where it's going to go. The Senate has some not-so-smart people there. For example, Senator Lindsey Graham, he's excellent when it comes to national security. When it came to Hamas attacked Israel, he immediately said we needed to send aid to Israel. Same with Ukraine. He's great with national security, but he's not that great when it comes to this social media stuff because he thinks it's an attack on the First Amendment. So we'll see how he votes, but there are not so great senators that will probably oppose the bill, and it might cause a problem with passing in a majority, let alone supermajority. We'll see. But yeah, that's for TikTok today. There's some other interesting news. So if you're from France or England or any of the other international community, you can probably tune me out now. I'm done talking about international stuff. Well, international companies anyway. Because it's election year, and election year in America is pretty important, especially this year. This is an incredibly important election because we have two old fools going after each other, and it's gonna be grueling, man. Honestly, it might just be a race to who drops first, and I don't mean drops out, I mean drops. It might be. I mean, Trump is by far more competent and less senile than Joe Biden, but that can change fast because he's getting old. We'll see, though. There is another guy running, though. This other guy's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So, Kennedy family is a little wacky. You know, he had JFK. He got assassinated. RFK's uncle ran for president. He got assassinated. RFK is running for president. He hasn't been assassinated. So, we've got one Kennedy left. He's not dead yet. He might be. He might get assassinated if he gets enough poll numbers. You never know. I don't mean to spur on any conspiracy theories. I'm kind of joking. But RFK is set to announce his vice president soon. And his vice president, you'd expect to be, you know, if you're a third party candidate, you'd kind of want to pick a vice president who's kind of competent, someone who's been a politician before and knows what he's doing. So maybe, you know, you'd think, oh, RFK will pick Kyrsten Sinema because she's technically an independent. Or maybe he'll pick, oh, gee, I don't know, someone who's been in the political system before. Well, he's not. He's not picking anyone who's been in the political system before. In fact, he's probably going to pick Aaron Rodgers. This isn't confirmed yet. It's not March 26. He'll be announcing who he's really picking on March 26 in California. So this is speculation, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be picking Aaron Rodgers. And if you're not if you don't know who Aaron Rodgers is, well, join the club, because I didn't either until I looked him up. Aaron Rodgers is not a politician. He's a football player. So if RFK picks a football player to be his running mate, what does that tell you? Kind of tells me he's not really picking competent people. And I know vice presidency is the most boring job in American history, but considering two Kennedys have already been assassinated, and RFK is a very paranoid person who thinks the CIA assassinated them, you'd kind of think he'd pick a competent person to be his vice president just in case, you know, he gets assassinated, and then his vice president can step in and do a good job running the country. But he's not. He's picking Aaron Rodgers, who's a football player. So that's great. Yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. Great. So that's interesting. That's great news. That's amazing, you know. We might have a football player as our president. I mean, it's like a 0.1% chance he becomes president, but we might have one. In other news, let's talk about Donald Trump. So we all miss the days Donald Trump was president. We all miss the times where we had a good economy. You know, we could get a mortgage on a new house. We could sell our house. Real estate investment was really great. And now it's kind of down because inflation went way up and the feds fought inflation with interest rates rising. And now it's super expensive to buy a new house unless you're buying it with cash. And there's just no supply. So the house market's kind of crashing a little bit. The economy's not really doing great. People are investing in the stock market, not because they have money to invest into it, but because where else are they going to invest? They can't invest in real estate because the real estate market's crashing. So all that money is going to the stock market. Stock market's going up in the expectation that interest rates eventually go down. But we just had Janet Yellen. Did I say that correctly? Is it Janet Yellen? Okay, no, it's definitely Janet Yellen. That's a weird last name, Yellen. Anyways, she just announced that interest rates are probably not going to go down for a very long time. She said that interest rates were a transitory measure to bring inflation down. But just recently, she changed course and said, no, these are staying up for a while. So what happens when the stock market is going up because people expect interest rates to go down, and then they find out the interest rates aren't going down for a very long time? What happens? Well, the stock market goes down. So expect the stock market to go down eventually. I don't know when. I don't know how far it's going to go down. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a political commentator. So expect that to go down. It'll be great. You know, economy just keeps getting worse because we have a old man in office who doesn't seem to know what he's doing. So that's great. Remember the time when that didn't happen, though? No, you know, it was like 2017, 2018, even 2019. 2019 was like the golden years for Trump. Economy shot up. It grew faster than China. Inflation was super low. Wages were rising incredibly fast. Border was pretty secure. It was getting more secure by the day as the wall was getting put up. You know, I just wish we could go back to that time. Yes, Trump was a crazy man, but he did a lot of good for this country. A lot of good. And that's what I look back to. When I think back to 2017, 18, and 19, I don't think of all the angry things Trump did on Twitter. I don't think of that at all. Instead, I think about the amazing economy we had, the booming country, the stable nation. Yeah, there were riots, but those riots were not done by sane people. Those riots were done by crazy people who were radicalized by the far left group. The far left group of BLM in that case, but... And they could have been put down by a National Guard, and Trump refused to do that, and it took the governor of Minnesota to do it instead. And he, yeah, so Trump made mistakes, and he could have done a lot better, like having the National Guard take down riots in Minnesota, or maybe not closing down during COVID. Basic things like that, but he did a lot of good too, and that's what we all look back towards. We don't remember the terrible things, remember the good times. And that's why he's winning the polls again. Trump's winning in the polls again because when people remember his presidency, they're not like, oh man, yeah, he's that crazy person who talks about how Haiti is a terrible country. No, they look back and say, man, I had a growing wage, growing faster than inflation. I was doing amazing. I bought a new house, sold my old house. It was amazing, man. I could invest in the stock market. I could invest in real estate. I could start my own company. The economy was amazing back then. It's not anymore. So that's why Trump's leading in the polls. And that's also why I decided to read an article by Reuters. So according to Reuters, Trump has, in 2019, this is recently received information. So in 2019, Trump started a kind of like anti-espionage operation. And this anti-espionage operation was in China. So what its goal was to do was to go into Chinese social media within the nation of China and start convincing people and turning the Chinese people against the Chinese government. And the reason why that he did this is because, well, China's doing it to us. They're doing it through TikTok. They're doing it through their other media companies that we have access to. So Trump decided, you know what? My team is going to do it to you. So he put a team together that essentially acted like ghostwriters. And these ghostwriters would write posts on the Chinese social media. They'd gain a following. And then they tried to convince the Chinese nationalists that their nation is wrong. That the Belt and... what's that called? The road initiative they have going through Europe and Asia is wrong, that they shouldn't be doing that, that their government is corrupt, that Xi Jinping has dark money. And they base all of this stuff off some truth and then took it way too far. That's what an average conspiracy theory does. It takes the truth, it starts from the truth, and it takes it way too far. And that's what he did. And so I would say it's a very good way of anti-espionage against China. That's amazing. We need to do that again. I'm not sure if the Biden administration continued this policy. I don't think, I didn't see any specification in Reuters about that. So I hope the Biden administration continued this instead of ending it, because that's really important. China is spreading its influence across the globe. And a lot of it might be harmless. Like, for example, when you're a big nation and your economy is growing a little bit, like China's is, what you need to do is you need to find nations that can help you continue to grow your economy. So they'll make trade relations with South Africa and Brazil, yada, yada. That's not terrible. It's terrible when they start saying, hey, I'll build you a port that I know you can't afford. And when you can't continue paying for that port because it doesn't provide you enough income, which I know it won't provide you enough income, I get to take over the port. It's building a military base in nations where the nation doesn't want a military base. For example, Sri Lanka. China built a port in Sri Lanka because, well, they wanted it. And Sri Lanka thought it'd give them a lot of revenue. Well, it gave them no revenue, and Sri Lanka was no longer able to pay for the loan. So China's like, oh, that's okay, I forgive you, but give me the port. So China now has the port in Sri Lanka, and it can act as a base of operations for their navy. And that is a big concern. China is spreading its influence everywhere. So going into China and turning its people against itself is actually very beneficial for the international community and the American community. And I know I'm an American, so when I think of the international community, I actually think of, NATO. That's about it. I think of the Western world. And that is more than just NATO. That's South Korea. That's AUKUS as well, which is South Korea, South Korea, Japan, Australia, United Kingdom. That's AUKUS, United States. I think of that too. But it's better for the whole international community, not just the Western world, that China is not able to spread its influence. Because when they do spread its influence, it's not like, hey, we'll help you build up your country. It's like, hey, we'll help you build up your country, and then you are our puppet state, like Sri Lanka is. They don't want to be China's puppet state, but they are. Because they took Chinese loans, and they couldn't pay them. That isn't how this is supposed to work. So what I think the United States needs to do to help counter this as well is, yes, let's keep these operations going on in China. Keep turning the Chinese people against themselves. And in fact, increase it. Grow the number of ghostwriters. We need the people to very strongly rebel against China, especially the coastal cities. The coastal cities are the cities that have more laissez-faire policies, which is why they do so well. Like, for example, in coastal cities in China, the average median income is like $74,000 a year. That's still less than the average median income in the United States as a whole, let alone in American coastal cities. I think in American coastal cities, it's like 110 grand a year, while in the U.S. as a whole, it's like 80 grand a year. And so that's still less, but that's way more because those cities have laissez-faire policies. And so if you convince people in those cities that if the CCP gets what they want, they won't be able to have those laissez-faire policies anymore. They won't be able to be as rich as they are anymore. They will rebel. And that will greatly weaken China's power. Because their power is based on a navy. And their navy needs coastal cities. That is China's weak point. So turning those cities against the government is an excellent idea. Trump administration did a great thing. I'm only sad that it started in 2019 instead of 2017. But it should still be going on today. If it's not, it should be. What else the U.S. needs to do is make an alternative to Chinese investment. We haven't been doing this anymore. You know, when the UN was made, we came into it, we're like, okay, we're going to promote peace throughout the world, and that worked in South Korea. And we're going to help build up other nations, and that worked in Europe. Because we actually built those nations, and those nations had an idea of what rebuilding themselves looked like. For example, Germany, they knew what it was like to be successful. So when they were destroyed, they had their sight on what it would be like to be successful again. So when we gave them money to rebuild, they're like, hey, let's rebuild to back what, not just back what we were economically, but let's build better. And so they were able to do that. But with these poor nations like Brazil, for example, and I know a lot of people say they're not poor, but they are poor. The average person in Brazil does not make very much money. Same as Chile, South Africa, any African nation. They were never great nations, ever. They maybe had better times than what they have now, but if you just send them money, their governments will just use it for their own good, for the government's good, not the people's good, the government's good. So sending every nation money doesn't make sense because they don't remember what it was like to be great because they never were like that, especially with African nations. They never were great. They don't remember it. You give the one exception is Egypt. Egypt was once a very great ancient civilization, but they don't remember being a great ancient civilization. No one remembers more than 200 years ago. So giving money to nations for them to build on doesn't work, but that's what the UN does. On the other hand, China, they give money to nations specifically for building infrastructure projects. That's the only thing they can use that money for. And when they can't pay those loans from China, that infrastructure project becomes a Chinese-owned project. And China can do what they want with it. So we need to offer an alternative. For example, Liberia, it used to be an American colony. It's one of the poorest nations in the world because we neglected it. We need to offer them loans, not just loans, but grants, specifically for building up infrastructure, increasing their economy, and investing into local industries, and open up our trade with them more so. Lower tariffs if we have any on them. That will help build up Liberia. That isn't just their government using money for whatever they want to use it for. That is Liberians being able to see that money at work in their businesses as they can now afford to invest into other Liberian businesses and other African businesses. So investing in strategic places, specifically for very specific uses like infrastructure, or investing into their companies, and opening up trade with other nations, that is how you build them up. You can't just send them random money for whatever they want. That is doesn't work anymore because they're not Europe. They were never great. You have to make them. You have to allow them. I know before I said you cannot force success upon someone, and that's true. You cannot force someone to succeed. But what you can do is make them learn what success looks like. So for example, their prime ministers, their presidents, they don't know how to make their country great. If they did, their country would be great. And I know I sound like a egotistic American right now, but that's just the facts. If South Africa knew how to be great, then how come they're not? Same as Brazil, same as the Democratic Republic of Congo, or Central African Republic, or Rwanda, or Liberia. They don't know what it's like. They don't know how to make themselves there. So these initial ideas of we're going to give you money for specific purposes, and we're going to invest in your industries, and we're going to open up our trade to you, strategically speaking, one nation at a time until they grow and are at a point where they can now until they're at a point where they now know how to grow their own economy on their own, by themselves. And their people recognize that their government's corrupt and they elect new non-corrupt leaders, then we can say hands off. We're investing into a different country now. We'll keep open trade with you, but we're no longer going to be sending you money for specific purposes even. Not anymore. Because now you know how to grow. And so they will grow on their own. That is how you invest into countries now. It's no longer World War II. European countries don't need to be rebuilt. So stop spending money on them. And stop using your strategy that you did with European countries for other nations. It doesn't work that way anymore. You have to encourage them. You have to give them money for specific purposes. Because if you don't, their government will just take it. They'll pay themselves handsome wages. They'll build one windmill and call it good. And that's exactly what they've been doing. So we need to change our approach. And when a country that is an emerging nation like Argentina says that they elect a competent leader for the first time in a long time, like they just elected Javier Milei, and they want to align themselves with us, don't ignore them. Take them at face value. They want to align themselves with us? How do they want to do it? They want the United States dollar? Fine. Open up so that they can adopt the US dollar, so that the only thing holding them back is their own government. Because we can't interfere necessarily with their government, but we can make it easier for them to adopt our dollar. They want to trade with us on a free trade agreement? Fine. Let's look into expanding the American-Canadian-Mexican agreement to include Argentina. They want to use SpaceX as a space agency? Fine. Let's let SpaceX internationally operate inside of Argentina for Argentina purposes. They want to learn what it's like to have lower regulations and lower taxes. They need advice on how to do that? Fine, give them advice. They want funds to build a new port and build new airports? Fine, give them funds specifically for those purposes. That's it. Only for those purposes. That is how we fix countries. That's how this works. It's basic economics in reality. We just forgot what basic economics is because we tried one thing with Europe and it happened to work because Europe is a exceptional continent that keeps having ups and downs. So they remember what it was like to be great. But it doesn't work everywhere else. It really doesn't. So that's the episode today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Slightly longer episode. I tried to cover everything that went on this week. And well, actually, most of that happened last week. Or not last week, but yesterday. But it's pretty recent news. I highly suggest you guys stay on top of the TikTok issue, though. I have a Twitter account. I'll keep you guys updated on where TikTok's at. Where it's going to be bans, like if it passes the Senate, if Biden signs it, or if they sell to a different company. I'll keep you guys updated on there. So if you want daily updates and more than once daily updates on the TikTok stuff and other world politics going around you today, just look up Weekly Polis on Twitter. Give me a follow and you'll get pretty much updates daily and sometimes hourly, depending on what's going on, depending on how crazy the world's going. But Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch you all later. God bless you. Adios.